Yes, thanks. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. One more time, will we try that again all together now? Good morning, everyone. My name is Bill. I get to be the pastor here, and it has been just the greatest season of my ministry so far these last several months. I was reflecting the other day that in like 2 weeks, I'll hit my one-year mark, which is pretty crazy for me to, we kept him around that long. So it's been kind of fun, and today is another fun day. Today is also a day that our culture tells us that we are supposed to do a bunch of different things, like go get chocolates and cards and flowers and reserve the restaurants for Mother's Day dinner so that we can honor our mothers. And so the traditional greeting on a day like today is Happy Mother's Day. And for those of you who are happy today, we rejoice with you. We celebrate all that that means for you and to you. But we also want to acknowledge this morning that for a lot of us, today isn't exactly happy, and it comes with memories of pain and loss, and for some of us, grief. And so we want to also acknowledge that. And while not taking anything away from happiness and joy, for those of you that are happy and filled with joy, we also want to honor the pain that is real for many of you. And we want to make sure that you know, those of you that it's less than happy, that your place here is just as honorable. Your experience is just as normal, even though it's got some pain in it, and that you are just as valued and valuable in our culture and in our society and here in this congregation, regardless of whether you're rejoicing or you're weeping today. So we want to make sure that we communicate that well to you this morning. We honor you, all of you ladies. And we honor those women that have come before us and allowing us to be here in this place. Our biological mothers, our adopted mothers, our mothers, women that raised us as next-door neighbors and grandmothers, and our spiritual mothers, too, that gave us these seeds of faith that are bearing fruit in a place like this morning. We have been, so far, starting up in this series called Welcome Home. And we're discussing in this series, it's going to be a few weeks long, some of the aspects of our life together as believers, as called out ones, which is sort of the definition, the literal meaning of the word church. We are the ones called out of the culture, of the world that we've been in, into a different reality called the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going to be talking about it. And as Shauna said, last week we talked about baptism really as a profound proclamation that we agree, that we align ourselves with the work of Jesus, that we trust in him as far as not just our future hope, but our present hope, that he's rescuing us, making a way for us even right now to experience the kingdom of heaven. And baptism is that public proclamation. It is both intensely personal, because we're proclaiming our commitment to that idea, to that kingdom. And it's also intensely communal, because as we looked in scripture, we see it we see it talked about as a way for people to proclaim into a community or to a community that they are now a part of that believing community. So it's both intensely personal and intensely communal. And today we're going to be talking about another aspect of life together in community, and that's the dedication of children. So, excuse me, if we look in scripture, we do see a few stories of children dedicated to the Lord, one of whom being Jesus himself. We catch a glimpse of his story as his parents take him to the temple and present him there, dedicating him to the Lord in that way. And we catch another story in the Old Testament of a woman named Hannah who went through all kinds of things to come to the place where she became a mother. She was infertile. She lived in a household where she was put down because of that. And so there was this sort of almost an identity that was placed on her in her culture as the one who isn't bearing children. But she experienced grace and love from her husband, from her family there, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and in this story, God answered her prayer. She bore a child, and then if you can imagine this, if you know someone or you've yourself experienced the pain of infertility, after she gives birth to this child, she takes him to the temple, and she dedicates him to the Lord there and leaves him there to grow up in the service of the temple, under the tutelage of the priest there. And it's this mind-blowing idea of what child dedication, one piece of what child dedication is. And so I want to make sure for those of you parents that are bringing your children for dedication today that you're not planning on leaving them here. That's correct? We're good on that? Good, good. But this sense of child dedication, though, is profound. We find it in Scripture. It's yours? It's one of the ones being dedicated. He's agreeing with me really vigorously. It is also a public proclamation, just child dedication. A public proclamation of much of the same stuff that we see and agree and recognize Jesus for who he says he is, for what he's done, for what he's doing, and for what he will do. And as parents dedicating children, it's intensely personal. Because we're saying we desire our child to be raised up in the same knowledge, in the same atmosphere, breathing the same kingdom air that we breathe now. It's profoundly personal, but it's also profoundly communal, much like baptism. Because as those of you like me who are parents, we know that it's difficult to raise children, and there's all kinds of influences that come in and out of their lives in their growing up years. And child dedication in the church looks a lot like saying, we want to raise our child in this community or in a spiritual community like this. So not only are we wishing to publicly proclaim that we desire to raise the child in this way, to influence our children in these ways, but we're also saying we desire to do it in a community of people who will help us do that. Child dedication, therefore, are both intensely personal and intensely communal. I will say this too before we kind of connect into what child dedication isn't, because we're going to start there, that both of the stories that I just shared with you from Scripture related to child dedication, the mothers were doing the dedicating, right? They were the ones presenting the children to the temple, to the priest, to the church, if you will, in those moments. So it's fitting that we're celebrating this part of who we are as a spiritual community on this day. Now, what child dedication isn't? Child dedication is not baptism. In many faith families, children are baptized, and it means something specific to those faith families. For a lot of faith families, baptizing children is a means of grace by which they are saved. But in the faith family that we're a part of, we don't see baptism that way, and we don't see children being baptized in Scripture at all. In fact, we only see people who have matured enough and are cognitively able to understand what they're publicly proclaiming. So if baptism is a public proclamation that's both intensely personal and intensely communal, that is not for children, not for babies, until they reach a point of maturity where they can agree for themselves. There's no water involved in child dedication either. So no water, it's not baptism, and it's not what some families call a sacrament, which means it's not a means of grace by which this child is, you know, gets a hall pass in life to get into heaven or out of hell or whatever final destination you're hoping for or hoping to avoid. Child dedication is not that. So let's look in Scripture a little bit, and I'm just going to read this for you. We talked about Jesus' parents bringing him to the temple. We talk about Hannah bringing her child, Samuel, to the temple. We've talked about it not being a sacrament. We've talked about it not being baptism. So what is it? Before we connect with a piece of scripture, I want to share what I think it is personally and how it's kind of connected with me in my life. I remember bringing our son home from the hospital after several days in the NICU, and being a first-time parent is always chaotic and scary. But bringing him home and putting him in the bassinet and not leaving his side, he was kind of in the living room, and we slept on the couch, and we're just around him, like listening, making sure that he was still alive. Like, that was like the terror, like, oh my gosh, what do we do with this thing that's now here, this human? And I remember eventually after, 7 calls the first night to the nurse's hotline to make sure we were doing things right, we got to the next day and it felt like hope had dawned, and yet it was still scary too. We still didn't know what we were doing. More calls to the nurse's hotline. And after a few days of that, we were able to transition eventually him to where he would sleep in a crib in his room upstairs. And I remember the first night we placed him in the crib, and I don't know if you recall this, we stood over his crib there, and my wife and I, I was crying, and we were just kind of amazed that this little human was here and had made it however many days it had been. And not because we were experts, but because of the grace of God, right? And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like, now he's our responsibility. What are we going to do, right? And we prayed over him that night. And I remember praying these words, and they kind of came out of my mouth before I could consider them. God, help us to raise our son so that one day he can become our brother. And it came out of my mouth, and I thought, sounds weird. Like, it just sounds weird. And I thought about it again. God, help us to raise our son so that one day we can call him our brother. And he's not here this morning, but God has answered that prayer in so many ways. And I think for me, that's my conviction of what child dedication is. Like, had we been in a church at that time, participating in a spiritual community, because we weren't at that moment in our lives, it would have been that's the sentiment. Like, Lord, help us to raise this child so that one day they can be our brother or sister. That is child dedication here in our faith family. And it was a private proclamation with my wife and I standing over his crib that night. But today we get to celebrate a public proclamation here in this spiritual community. We're almost there, by the way, so the kids are doing fantastic. In the Old Testament, we talked about Hannah bringing Samuel to the house of the Lord, dedicating him there. Look, there's this passage of scripture in Mark where parents are bringing their children to see Jesus. Jesus was a popular guy already. People kind of had this sense that if he blessed you, you were blessed in whatever way you needed to be blessed. So in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and moving forward, here, listen to this story. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Because he's an important guy. Get the children out of here, right? When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." And then in verse 15, it continues, "I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. He honored the desire of those parents to bless their children. But before we call those parents up and their children up, I want to ask all of us this question to you. What does it mean when Jesus says, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children? I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be like a child in this context? And this is audience participation. What does it mean? innocent, okay? Vulnerable. Innocent, vulnerable, what else? Loved, what else? What's that? Hopeful, what else? Dependent. Dependent, what else? Trusting, what else? Yes? Faithful. Yeah, what else? These are all great. What else? Joyful, enthusiastic. Have you seen a kid running for something that they want, right? Joyful, enthusiastic. I see my daughter's pigtails bouncing around as she's running after something she wants when she was younger, right? What else? Say again? A sense of adventure. What about, curiosity. Open to what this experience might be like. And I think before we move forward, I want to put a pin in that for the rest of us, because what these parents are publicly proclaiming they want for their children is those things. In this sense of being welcomed into a space with Jesus where he will bless them. A sense of being welcomed into a community and a space, both in their home life and in their communal life, in their spiritual community, where they will be blessed, where they will be taught, corrected, where they will be shaped, where they can be running around enthusiastically asking questions, being innocent and vulnerable. This today is what we're communicating through these child dedications. So I want to call up the parents and the children who are coming forward this morning. Pardon me one moment. So we can have, yes, the Goffs. Jason, Carrie, and Reed Randall Goff. Yes. Spencer and Caitlin Dozel, and Anders August. That is the biggest smile you've ever given me. And Sonia and Jared Crooks and my buddy Isaac. What's going on, man? Good. Awesome. So this is both the intensely personal and the intensely communal moment kind of colliding here today. So because we believe that that the children need to raise to a level of maturity and an ability to understand what's happening, and these are children that we're dedicating, not baptizing, that the parents are the ones making the proclamation today, right? We understand that together? So they play a super important role, and I am going to ask you some questions. And I know that you know the answers to them, but if you would answer yes, by the grace of God, if you agree to these questions that I am going to ask you. Are you ready for this? So I'm going to ask you all together, and you can answer all together. First question. You guys listen up too. Do you receive this child with gratitude as God's gift to you and your family? Yes, by the grace of God. Pay attention, Spencer. Will you make a covenant to strengthen your marriage relationship, creating a stable environment in which your child can mature? If so, yes, by the grace of God. Wonderful. Do you commit to lead a faith-filled home that honors God in all your relationships and in the choices you make in spiritually growing your family? If so, yes, by the grace of God. And do you commit to raising this child in spiritual community, allowing them to be influenced by the image of God in others and observing you doing the same thing in your life? Yes, by the grace of God. Now, I would also like our entire audience here, the congregation, to stand, because you have a part to play here as well. So I'm going to ask you a question. And if you are feeling so favorably disposed, you will answer yes by the grace of God. Are you ready? Will you commit, friends and family of these ones here, will you commit now to be intentional in your relationships with them, to support, encourage, and counsel them, to mentor them in the way of Jesus, thereby make the kingdom of heaven more and more real in the lives of these children? If so, say, by the grace of God. Well, very good. Buddy, now it's time, but I'm going to start down on this end. If you want to hold on to him, and I'm just going to put my hand on him. Oh, Reed, Randall, Goff, are we going to be friends today? Yeah? How about this? I'm just going to hold your hand, buddy. All right, all right. That's the majority of people in the room, right? All right, let's pray, everyone. Heavenly Father, right now we dedicate this child to you, to be nurtured and cared for by his parents, in the reverence of God, and to be by them instructed in all the ways of Jesus, that the proper age, he will willingly choose Jesus as his Savior. And we do this right now, dedicate him in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm coming after you. Let's do Isaac next. We practiced this, right? All right, very good. Isaac, we commit you now. We dedicate you to the Lord, to be nurtured and cared for by your parents, in the reverence of God, and to be by them instructed in all the ways of Jesus, that the proper age you will be willing and able to choose Jesus as your Savior. And I do this now in the name of the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One more. Come on, Andy. There you are. Hi. Yes. Of course. Yes? Andy, we dedicate you now, as you change my page, to the Lord, to be nurtured and cared for by your parents, in the reverence of God, and to be by them instructed in all the ways of Jesus, that the proper age, you will willingly choose Jesus as your Savior. And I do this in the name of the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Can we give them a hand? So we thank you for taking this step in your journey with us, and we honor it today in the name of Jesus. You can be seated. You can all be seated. Oh, no, sorry. One more thing. You can be seated. You have to stay because to express our commitment to you as a congregation, we've got these books for you to read over your babies. Read Randall Goff, Anders August Dozel, and Isaac Paul Crooks. There you go. You read it over them, read it with them, and we trust that it will be a tool that you can use to help raise them up in the way that you just committed to do. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys very much. Now, you'll be excited to know that today is a day that we get to go early from this place to celebrate with our families and really to practice what we just committed ourselves to. We as a congregation committed ourselves to these children and to these households, but as you and I go from this place, we go to our children and our households and our neighbors and our coworkers throughout the week, and we carry the same commitment. Right, to create an atmosphere where the kingdom of heaven could be made more and more real. Now, I understand fully that we don't understand fully what that means. And so my prayer for us today as the band comes on up, I saw you back there. My prayer for us is that as we take this journey together, we will really take it together. That we will give and receive counsel from one another, that we will allow one another to paint pictures of the kingdom of heaven for one another, that we will allow one another to challenge our perceptions and challenge the realities that we choose for ourselves so that we can live more and more into the reality of the kingdom of heaven. I think about the experiences that our family has had planting churches and leading in churches and watching how from the time our kids were infants until now, how the community has come around them, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. And not just the people that we meet with in the congregations that we lead, but the people in the communities that we serve in. You are those people. And you're those people not just for the kids in this church, but for the kids in our community. And so I want to pray another prayer over you this morning as we get ready to continue in worship, a prayer of commissioning for those of us that have said yes to this community, this kingdom community, for those of us that have said, as much as we understand, we would prefer to live in what we hear people describe as the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. So if you will bow your heads with me, we will continue on in this moment as ones who are reconsidering and even rededicating ourselves to this experience of the kingdom. Let's pray.